He started here. He is here. No one knows New York better. Geraldo, 77 WABC, where New York comes to talk.
My thoughts are this. Geraldo, you're tough. You're smart. You're brilliant in so many different ways. You've done such an amazing job in raising so much money for your charity. It's really an honor to have worked with you for this period of time, and I think you've shown the world what kind of a guy you are. Really special.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Liza, you led with kindness. I don't see these people in New York. I see brutal, brutal killers. I don't meet people like you. Maybe you'll be with all of our friends over at the Today Show one of these days. I think you do so well. You really do have tremendous talent and tremendous leadership ability. You also raised a tremendous amount of money. You won the last task, which does mean something to me, and I'm ready to make my decision. The winner of The Celebrity Apprentice is Liza Gill.
Oh, man, what a disappointing night. You know, sitting in front of the tube, so many Geraldo fans keeping our fingers crossed, watching The Apprentice on NBC. Donald Trump comes to the boardroom table for that last moment, just about, 9:57 last night. And up till then, I thought, geez, Geraldo, I think he's won this thing. Of course, joining us this morning, the guy who didn't win, but he won money-wise. He won more money than Liza, the man himself, Geraldo Rivera. How you feeling, Geraldo?
Hey, Noam, I feel a little bit like the Biggest Loser. That's an NBC show, isn't it?
Oh, it is.
You know, we were debating with Liza what we would call me, and we rejected Biggest Loser, and we decided Best Man, because I won among the guys. Yeah. It was a great competition. You're right down to the 11th hour, the last minute of the show. I was holding out hope, but he seemed to be leaning toward Liza. You're right. We were both winners in the sense that, I raised $750,000 for my charity, about the same with that $250,000 bump at the end for her charity. Two great causes. I think the folks at home were entertained by the competition, which was a nail-biter and intense in every regard. And obviously I would have preferred to win, but in a certain way, no, I feel better about being the loser who people thought won than the winner that people thought lost, if you know what I mean.
I know what you mean. So at what point last night did you know in your heart, or was there a point up until that last moment when Donald picked Liza? Was there a point there where you said, I'm not feeling so good about this tonight?
When Johnny Damon, the Yankee Red Sox great, said Liza's 8-3, Geraldo's 4-7 in terms of the various tasks, I thought that was kind of ominous. And then when they polled the panel of the other contestants who had been eliminated earlier, and most of them favored Liza. But I tell you, what the biggest symptom was? When they sat Erica and Sol in row 20. I said that was a dead giveaway.
That should have been a dead giveaway. And speaking of Sol, tell me what happened. How did Sol react to this last night when you didn't come up the winner?
Well, my 9-year-old was with Erica, her mom, and Isabella was there with her friend David. Simone was there with her friend Zach. When I lost, Sol, the 9-year-old, just started crying. Uh-huh. She just couldn't understand how Daddy could lose, and it was heart wrenching in a way. You know, to me, it's a TV show. A contest. I came up short, but I gave it a good run. But to my 9-year-old, it was like, how can you do this to my dad? And she was inconsolable for a while until we brought her down to the stage, and she sat in Trump's big red chair and took some pictures with the Donald, who was very gracious, and he's very, very thoughtful. And he's a real family man also. He had all his kids there. He had Tiffany, Marla Maples, a daughter with him, and he had Darren, his kid with Melania, and of course the three big ones who, play such a central role in his business now, Don Jr., and Ivanka, who's such an impressive person. So to see Donald with his kids is very nice, and he was very nice to my children. It was a very gracious affair, and I would have preferred, obviously, to win, but what a ride, I'm telling you, man.
It was, and, I was watching all day. You were tweeting things about how excited you were for the final boardroom, and then you were tweeting pictures of you with Donald and with some of his kids, At that point, were you asking them? Did you get a vibe from them? Did you just straight out say, hey, did I win? Do I have, you know, did you even think to ask those questions? Were you getting a vibe from them at all?
That's a great question. They really hold their cards close to their vest. Remember, they're very successful business people, and they didn't let on, they didn't give any overt hint. They, Don Jr. His kid is in the same school as Sol is. So, you know, it's not like these people are strangers to me. I've been, you know, hanging around with Trump for most of the last 40 years on and off. And, you know, so I know them quite well. They didn't give me any hints. The main, in terms of the editing, I think that, whenever I was being aggressive with sharp elbows or, curt sentences, they were sure to be in there. I mean, my more generous moments where I was my usual gracious and compassionate self, you didn't see too much of that. But, I'm definitely not complaining. It was a wonderful experience. It was a lot more difficult in terms of the competition than I anticipated it would be. I'm glad I showed him, that the old dog can still get it up. I think that I was
in more ways
than competitive.
One.
I was competitive throughout.
You know, I thought there were some real moments, you know, knowing you as I do now, especially when Marty, our executive producer, called into you to tell you that you had landed Tony Orlando as your talent for that part of the Universal competition. And you broke down in tears, and I thought that's really the Geraldo I know, who's really so compassionate.
Well, you know, I'm a very passionate person. I think compassion is part of passion. And when in the early stages, when Kevin Jonas and Ian Ziering and Lorenzo all conspired against me to get me eliminated in the first, even the one I won, the very first one, the pie, where we raised so much money, and I raised $115,000 of the $180,000 we raised in that project. They had me on the defensive right away. I was the center of the bullseye. They were trying to get me out. Lisa had a much different experience. She was very collegial with everybody, very nice. Everybody got along. Everybody relied on her. She had a much different experience, a much friendlier experience. With me, it was more like cutthroat business. It was ruthless. A kind of do or die, them or me kind of situation. So my experience wasn't nearly as pleasant. Not that it wasn't a great experience. It was an eye opener, but to be challenged that way by people in the millennial generation, I thought I was kind of like sticking up for all the old baby boomers that are hanging in there, and all things considered, I like the way it turned out.
Did this translate? Because I was watching on the boob tube, was wondering if this translated. I noticed that when they would mention Lisa's name, the applause was just this wild, it seemed like anyway, this wild applause. And then when they'd mention you, you got applause, but it seemed more polite. Did you notice that last night?
I absolutely did. I thought that deck was totally stacked. Just the fact that Erica was in row 20, and all the Lisa people were 0 through 19. I thought that they definitely, in that sense, had their eye on that particular prize. But it was okay. All things considered, I think it was a fair competition. If I had won that last event, I actually thought my commercial for Universal Orlando was much better.
I thought it was too. And they called it
did a voiceover she could have done from California.
Yeah, yeah.
All's well that ends well, and I'm glad I did it.
There was a great red carpet in the after party. Tell me about that.
Well, it was every paparazzi in town was there. It was, I thought I was going to go into whatever that shock is you go in when you're looking at strobe lights. So that was okay. It was a big party. I was with Erica, kind of disappointed. But, sometimes you win some, you lose some. I'm just, just like a fight. I've had fights where, those three rounders where you get beat up, you stand up, you keep fighting right to the end, you lose a close decision. You've got plenty of honor. Nobody knocked me down. Lisa won on points. It was a great contest in that sense. And, the thing about The Apprentice is it's already, here's a big exclusive for you now. On March 13th, I'll be appearing in Glee. As myself, you know, it's their final season, and I'm appearing. They've asked me to appear in Glee, so I have scenes with Jane Lynch, who plays Sue Sylvester, wow, the lesbian coach of the cheering squad there. And then I'm also in they rewrote the finale, so I'll be in the finale of Glee. This is their last season. So, you know, you can't tell where this whole thing ends up. That's my point.
Oh, I think that's just the beginning of some great things that are going to come out of this, because I think people watched you and saw you for what you are, a hard worker, a good guy, compassionate, passionate, whatever you, however you want to describe it.
Well, I needed you in that boardroom, dude.
Yeah. You know, can I tell you, when I was watching, I was only watching you, and when he said Lisa Gibbons is the winner, however he exactly said it, I looked at you, and you sat there because you kind of didn't know what to do, and you looked shocked almost, because I think up until that last moment you thought, I still have a shot, even with the audience and everything.
I definitely did. I thought I was in it right to the end. I thought it could go either way, particularly, the minority voices of those contestants who've been eliminated, Kenya, ironically, who helped bust the phone gate, and Gilbert, and Kate Gosselin, they were with me really to the end. So I thought I had a long shot. I thought that Liz was clearly ahead though, going in.
So you're not here today because you go on this kind of crazy post-Apprentice press tour. What's going on today? What are you doing today?
I did the Today Show. I started with the Today Show. Then we did People Magazine. We did a couple of web things. We're doing Access Hollywood in a bit, heading right now to the Wendy Williams Show. I'll be on live, but maybe they could watch me live on Wendy Williams and have you the audio off and have your audio on when you and Rita fill in for me at our beloved 77 WABC. But I just want our listeners to know that I appreciate the fact that they followed me. I think that you check out the social media and all the vibe. It's an excellent vibe. We brought attention to this cause. You know, I've been working on this since Willowbrook back in 1972, still active in it. It's a cause that never ends, in the sense that, every day an autistic kid is being born or somebody with developmental disabilities. So, I really am proud that we brought money and attention to this very vital cause. So all things considered, I got to say, mate, that it was a great ride.
Yeah, you did us proud here. I'm proud of you. The money you raised for Life's Work, $700,000 in just 7 weeks' time, right? I think you shot this thing over 7 weeks. That's really unbelievable. I mean,
and the hardest thing is, I said on the show yesterday that, capital is the blood of business. That's what makes you can't have a business without working capital. And raising funds in a charity situation is like that. That's the capital. And it's the hardest thing on earth is asking other people to be generous for your cause. It's always been awkward. It's the hardest thing to do, is ask other people for their hard-earned money. And, there was some talk about, oh, I know all these billionaires. You know, it's just they've got their own causes that they're active in. And to have someone come and give you $20,000 in cash, that don't come easy.
All right, Geraldo, we're going to give you the morning off. We're going to give you 24 hours to cry in your beer. You've earned it. You can cry.
I'm going to cry in my beer.
Cry in your beer.
I started that already, though.
light up a fat one, whatever you have to do.
Yeah, man. Yeah, man. All
because
right.
We want you back tomorrow.
Invite me over.
You're still our hero here at 77 WABC.
Thanks, so. I appreciate it. Love it.
Yeah, so tomorrow, Geraldo will be back. And then, you heard season 15, they're going to shoot it come the spring. Maybe we can convince Imus to be the contestant so we can keep the radio thing on The Apprentice. All right, when we come back, you're going to hear a beautiful blonde taking over the chair here to host the show right here on the Geraldo Rivera Show, 77 WABC.
The sound of the city, Geraldo, where New York comes to talk, 77 WABC.
This is Rita Cosby filling in for Geraldo. And did you watch The Apprentice last night, the big finale? So proud of my colleague and friend Geraldo Rivera making it to the finale. And boy, it was a nail biter. I was like dripping sweat. I was sitting there going, who's he gonna pick? And it really was a tough one. There were two totally different personalities. Of course, Geraldo the hurricane, feisty, spirited. And then you had Lisa, sort of slow and steady, Lisa Gibbons. And in the end, Mr. Trump picked Lisa Gibbons. By the way, I went to University of South Carolina. I know Lisa. I like Lisa a lot. But boy, I was sitting there going, Geraldo, come on, baby, you got to win. He really hit it out of the park. By the way, if you look at the money, and we were just talking about money, 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 he brought in $750,000 in fundraising for his great charity called Life's Work, which helps mentally disabled children and adults find other alternatives to institutions and get them help and get them on the right track. So kudos to my buddy Geraldo. We are so, so proud of him. What did you think were some of the big moments on The Apprentice? What was your favorite part last night and some of your favorite Geraldo moments? I have a lot of them. I have a lot of great moments that I really loved. Lots to talk about today. Obviously, the temperature. Look outside. It is freezing again. We have some snow here in the city, in and around, and we're expected to get like 2 to 4 inches at some point today. It's supposed to taper off in a few hours, but if you're getting in a little late to work, it is going to be a little bit messy. And we will have Bill Evans, WABC-TV meteorologist, coming up in just a few minutes to give us the very latest on what we can expect today. Also, some really powerful stories in the paper. There's this really powerful one, particularly in the Daily News, where you see the story of a poor homeless man who's basically freezing to death on the streets, living next to, literally right next to, a $100 million apartment. And it brings up the theme of sort of a tale of two cities. Is it still a tale of two cities here in New York? And we're going to take your calls on that. Do you think that it's still so disparate in this city? The number is 1-866-437-2536, 1-866-437-2536. Also, Elliot Spitzer not getting a portrait on the Capitol Hall of Fame there in Albany. Governor Cuomo doing an interviewing and saying that Governor Spitzer somehow, his portrait's not there. Do you think that that's a good move? I think it is. The guy resigned in shame. Does it deserve to be there? We're going to take your calls and a lot more when we come back. 1-866-437-2536. 1-866-437-2536. And we'll be doing a weather update when we come back. Rita Cosby here for Geraldo.
From New York, for New York. Live, local, on it. Geraldo, 77 WABC. Where New York comes to talk.
Baby, I know that he's been cheating. Baby, I know that he's been untrue. But what can I do?
This is Rita Cosby filling in for Geraldo, who's on the Big Apprentice finale last night. And there's a little Leslie Gore, Brooklyn-born singer-songwriter who passed away. And, you know, when you look at her repertoire, she had that hit. She had, of course, one of the biggest hits ever, It's My Party. Also, I mean, just time and time again, You Don't Own Me, remember? Think of that one. Her list goes on and on and on. And she was also just a great songwriter, too. Sang a lot of the big songs, did a lot of big hits for other people, too, as well. And, of course, we can claim her as our own. I was born in Brooklyn, so I'm glad Leslie Gore, another great singer, much better than me, was born in Brooklyn. Everyone's talking about the weather today and how crazy and kooky it is. And when is it going to stop? It is such a mess outside. Ice everywhere, black ice, everybody's slipping. And I have seen a lot of homeless people outside. There's been a story in the Daily News today about the tale of two cities, about this homeless guy literally sleeping, talking about his life as he's, you know, laying there in freezing cold, bitter, frigid temperatures in the shadow of a $100 million apartment in New York City. Are we doing enough to help our homeless? And is there still this huge tale of two cities? And when you see the cold weather, boy, does that sort of exemplify it when you see somebody outside in temperatures like this. Let's go to Bill Evans, WABC-TV meteorologist. And Bill, when is this cold, wicked, cruel weather going to end?
I would say July is the safe month.
Great. Not June or May?
No. The way it's going, it might hang on through a good part of June. You know, remember last year was so cold. That cold, it really hung on until like the first couple of weeks of spring. So I think, you know, we're kind of still looking at what's going to be showers of snow for about another 20, 30 minutes here on Long Island, Jersey Shore, and then we're going to see this kind of clearing out. We actually have some breaks of sun later on. But in the big picture of it, it still looks like we're going to be kind of hanging around these very cold temperatures at least into, you know, next week. And I think by the end of next week, it looks like maybe after the next 14 days, we'll kind of turn the corner a little bit as we go on into March, and it starts to warm up just a little bit. We get away from these temperatures that are, you know, 20s for highs during the day and 5 and 6 for lows at night, and we start to get some more normal weather. after the next couple of weeks. We'll start to be getting highs around 42, which is normal, to 45 as we go into March. And lows at night should be, you know, right around 32 degrees or 35. So it'll start to get a little bit better.
Now, let's talk about later this week. Thursday, there could be another cold blast. And everybody, we're talking to WABC-TV meteorologist Bill Evans.
Yeah, I think, you know, we're back to that bitter cold Thursday and Friday. Highs are only going to be 20. Lows at night around 6. And then we got a shot at some snow showers on Saturday. The weekend's kind of interesting in that we have some snow showers at like 30 on Saturday. There should start with some snow on Sunday, but it should go to rain Sunday afternoon in 42. So not a real pretty weekend coming up. And then we're back to 20s, you know, next week as far as highs and lows in the single digits again as we get into a good part of next week. After that, you know, after next week, I think we kind of turn the corner a little bit and it's more normal weather. I mean, we're so far below normal for February. It has been really cold and bitter this month.
Yeah, and you and I were talking yesterday on the ride home. It's amazing. 1 degree in 1888, and we almost broke that record yesterday, Bill.
Yeah, you know, then you're talking about going back. You got to go back 100 years to find, you know, that kind of cold, and that's saying a lot. That, you know, we're you know, in the midst of here, always hearing about this global warming and climate change and all that. I mean, here we almost broke a 100-year record. So it just lets you know that climate change is always out there. And the fact, you know, we don't really know if this is carbon that's warming the planet or not. But, you know, the planet is always moving and changing. And that's a good thing. You know, a sign of that is this volcano exploding in New Mexico.
Yeah, that's wild stuff.
That's got to be a big story. So we have like 300 active volcanoes on the planet right now. So the planet's real vibrant and alive. And, you know, and all that kind of points to when that the weather is going to be very changeable. As a matter of fact, I'm looking to the west right now, Rita. The sun is breaking out over western New Jersey. So we're probably having a pretty good afternoon here.
Yay. You know what? I think because it's been happening over and over again, and then we shut the subways down, and we didn't need to shut the subways down. There are these stories, and one in particular that just tugs at your heart today, Bill, of this guy in Coney Island who went outside. Everybody said, don't go, don't go. He went out. I think a lot of people are not, you know, really expecting how horrible it is outside and maybe not taking weather seriously enough.
I think you have two things that go on in the city. One is you have a certain amount of apathy. You know, people say, you know, I lived through the blizzard of so-and-so. I lived through, you know, this storm, and I lived through that storm. You know, well, you know, you can't really do that in every storm. You know, I always tell people, you know, you might have lived through the blizzard of 95, 96, but, you know, when we had Hurricane Sandy, you can't shovel the ocean. You know, you can shovel 30 inches of snow, but you can't shovel the ocean. You know, so sometimes we think, you know, because New Yorkers are the type that, you know, we all believe that we're so tough, you know, and rigid, and that we gargle nails for breakfast kind of
thing.
You
don't do that? I usually do that.
I still do it. It doesn't make me any tougher, but I still do it.
Bill Evans, thanks so much. Always great to have you on, my friend.
Thanks, Rita. Have a great day.
Thank you. WABC-TV's chief meteorologist, Bill Evans. Well, one thing that is not affecting the weather is the debate over vaccines. And I'd love to hear what you think on this. Now there is word that a bill that would have made it easier for parents to obtain a vaccine exemption for their children has lost support in the state Senate, in the New York State Senate. The primary sponsor was a Senator Martin Dillon, Democrat from Brooklyn, and he has pulled the bill, leaving no one to carry it. And what the bill would have done is allow parents to have an exemption for religious reasons, for philosophical grounds. They could still send their unvaccinated child to school if they had a pre-written statement indicating their objection and that objection was approved. Do you agree with that? Should parents be allowed to have an exemption if they have some sort of philosophical issue or they have some religious exemption, something that they feel strongly about? Or are they putting other kids at risk in New York City schools? Even if they feel strongly against it, isn't there a responsibility that they don't get other kids sick? Especially if you look at what's happening with the measles outbreak and all these problems all over the place. What do you think of this bill? Should it be revived by somebody else in the New York State Senate? Or do you think it's a good thing that it sort of died on the vine and now there will not be a religious exemption? In other words, everybody has to basically vaccinate their kids. There's no exemption at this point for philosophical or religious grounds. Do you agree with this? As a parent, do you think that you should send your kids to school if somebody feels against it for some sort of religious or some other personal ground? They've gotten approval for it. Would you still feel safe sending your kid to school? It's 1-866-437-2536. 1-866-437-2536. This is Rita Cosby sitting in for Geraldo. You know, personally, I think we have to think about all the other kids in the school. I understand that people have religious reasons and have philosophical exemptions and have some personal, you know, beliefs in their families and some very deep-seated personal issues. And I respect that. I think I understand that. But when it comes to public health, should we be allowing these kids to still go to school with our kids if indeed, you know, they haven't been properly vaccinated? Is that fair to all the other kids in the schools, especially when you look at all the measles outbreak that started in California and now is in more than a dozen states? And, you know, they believe at least 100-plus cases. There was that case recently, they thought, in New Jersey. Do you think it's fair to send your kids to school just because someone says, well, I don't agree with it? Should they be forced to homeschool their kids as opposed to sending them to public school and potentially putting other kids at risk? What are your thoughts about this? Should there be a religious exemption for vaccines, whatever the vaccine is, whether it's the measles vaccine or the flu vaccine? At this point, it is required that they all go to school in New York. And now it looks like it's going to stay that way. Is that a good thing or not? And do you worry about putting your kids at risk if somebody has a religious exemption? Is public health, should that override any exemption? And how important do you think the vaccine is for your kids? It's 1-866-437-2536. 1-866-437-2536. What are your thoughts on this? Should there be an exemption? Should other kids be allowed to go to school if they haven't been properly vaccinated? If there's not a mandated immunization, is that fair to put your kids at risk because someone says, oh, I don't believe in it philosophically. It's not, doesn't fit with my religious or my personal beliefs, or that's not the way my family does it. Should those kids be forced to stay home? And what do you think? Or should there be an exemption? Am I missing something? I personally think it's not fair. I think it's important that everybody be vaccinated. I'm the godmother, by the way, of two autistic kids, so I understand some of the risks and some of the other things. But at this point, I feel like it is critical that they get immunized. You can't just say because of a religious exemption that you put all the other kids at risk. Am I right? Am I wrong? It's 1-866-437-2536, and I'll take your calls when we come back. Rita Cosby here for Geraldo.
Geraldo, live, local. Today's most important New York stories, only on 77 WABC.
This is Rita Cosby here for Geraldo. We're taking your calls about this New York Senate bill that now looks like it's died on the vine, which would have given religious exemptions to mandated immunizations. In other words, there now will not be any religious exemptions so far, at least in New York State. Right now, it's mandated that they get immunized kids in schools. And this bill, which had a sponsor, which now has dropped out, would have allowed for people on philosophical grounds, religious grounds, to say, okay, well, I don't want my kid immunized. What do you think about that? Doesn't that put the kid at risk, other kids at risk? What are your thoughts? It's 1-866-437-2536. Let's go to Mark from Dutchess County. Mark, go ahead. You're here on 77 WABC.
Yes, hi. Nice to hear you.
Thank you, Mark.
First of all, I mean, I believe that public health should prevail. I mean, you know, I'm not thrilled that I can't smoke my big fat cigar at a kid's ball game, but I also know that I shouldn't impose my smoke upon other kids and adults.
You know, by the way, Mark, that's a great analogy, too. That, you know, that I do think that public health should prevail because I think that there's a greater, more important good and important safety concern here. Let's go to Selma from Ridgewood. Selma, you're here on 77 WABC.
Rita, God bless you. You sound like such a great person, but we have 350 million people in the country. 100 cases are of measles. Bottom line of the story is that we do know about measles. Measles, according to the Multiple Sclerosis Association, predisposes you to MS, multiple sclerosis, which is a horrible neurological disease that takes
you away. Now, let me ask you something. Selma, hang on one second. Wait. You're concerned about some of the mercury or other reports of what's in the vaccines.
Mercury, Rita, it's the amount of vaccination they're giving you.
And Selma, I agree that there is a big concern about the amount of vaccination. I do think sometimes we are over-vaccinating kids. So I wrestle with this. And I even said I'm a godmother of two autistic kids. And, you know, I know that there's been this big debate about Jenny McCarthy, whether it's right or not right. But, I mean, I do think, you know, when you're putting certain things in your system, I'm not 100% convinced that vaccines are not playing some sort of role. But I will also say right now, when we've got a measles epidemic in this country, we got to be really careful not to send kids that could get exposed or to help, you know, passing it to other kids who might be vulnerable in school. I think there is a huge, huge safety concern. When we come back, we'll continue with your calls. Also, Cardinal Dolan, New York Cardinal Dolan, comes out today very strong in an editorial saying civilization is threatened by the evils of ISIS, and basically saying that good Muslims need to rise up and stand up to ISIS. Do you agree with him that civilization is threatened? And do you also agree that Muslims overall need to stand up more against ISIS? I think they do. I think we need to hear from them. I think it is getting so horrific out there. We're going to take your calls on that. 1-866-437-2536. 1-866-437-2536. This is Rita Cosby in for Geraldo.
He started here. He is here. No one knows New York better. Geraldo, 77 WABC, where New York comes to talk.
A little Leslie Gore, Brooklyn-born, who passed away yesterday and had so many hits after hits. And speaking of parties, I hope you tuned in yesterday to watch the big finale of The Apprentice, because it was a very cool bash and a very cool finale with my buddy Geraldo Rivera up against Lisa Gibbons. And how cool, Geraldo, to make it to the finale. I'm so proud of him. This is Rita Cosby filling in for Geraldo this hour because he is so busy post-Apprentice. He just was talking on the last hour or so that he's going to be on Glee. He's got an appearance on Glee, he was saying, with Noam Layden. So this guy is the Energizer Bunny, and I'm glad to be with you for the next hour here on 77 WABC. We're talking about, I think, a very powerful comment that came, and I think this is an important message that needs to be heard around the world. And it comes from New York's Timothy Cardinal Dolan, who today, in an exclusive editorial that's in the New York Post, pulled no punches and said that civilization is threatened by the evils of ISIS. And he called on Islamic religious leaders around the world to stand up and say, this is not Islam, this is a perversion of our faith. He said he agrees with the Pope that Islam's a religion of peace, but he needs to hear from more Muslim leaders and more average Muslims around the world to stand up and condemn it. And he uses as an example Jordan. And I say kudos to Cardinal Dolan, because it is so frustrating to me as an American when I sit there and I see Jordan, I see King Abdullah, who I've interviewed a number of times and who I think is a courageous, incredible leader in the Mideast. Obviously, that horrible thing happened with his pilot who was burned alive. That was just unbelievable. And ISIS seems to be getting worse and worse and worse. But Jordan took action. They went in. They bombed the heck out of ISIS. You know, it seemed almost within minutes. And meanwhile, we're just sort of sitting around. We've had all these Americans beheaded and we're not really doing anything. Egypt, of course, over the weekend was outraged when they saw that Christians, that mass execution of 21 Christians happened. And then Egypt went in and took some action. But meanwhile, we're just sort of sitting around. So don't you think we need to listen to what Timothy Cardinal Dolan is saying? Here is a man of peace, but saying that we need to get tough and Muslims need to get tough against the evils of ISIS, that it's so horrible that we need to finally stand up. I totally agree with him. I think it is so critical that we stand up right now, that all of us stand up, and that we Americans look a little bit tougher than we've been. I mean, Jordan and Egypt, Muslim countries, are much tougher than we've been. Meanwhile, we've had, you know, horrific things happen to our Americans that have been held hostage there, and yet we're not really doing anything. And then, why are Muslim leaders not standing up? Why are Islamic religious leaders not saying anything? They need to do more. I totally agree with Timothy Cardinal Dolan. What do you think? It's 866-437-2536. 866-437-2536 is the number to call. Do you agree with the Cardinal? Do you agree that Muslim leaders and many Muslims around the world, including here in New York, have been way too silent and it's time for them to get tough, and it's time for all of us to get tough against ISIS, that it is, quote, a threat to civilization. I think it is this serious. I agree with the Cardinal. It's 1-866-437-2536, 1-866-437-2536. And joining me now is retired General Paul Vallely. He is chairman of Stand Up America. And General Vallely, great to have you on the show. And I got to get your reaction to what Cardinal Dolan has said.
Well, hi, Rita. Happy to be back with you again. My best to Waldo. I've been watching him. He's done a great job.
He has. Look, he made it to the finale. How great is that, huh?
Yeah, it was great with Lisa Gibbons. Super. We even watched that out in Montana. But anyway, I agree with Cardinal Dolan. The Pope even has stood up now, and Pope Todros of the Egyptian Coptic Church, who I met last year when I was in Egypt meeting with President El-Sisi. So now we have people finally standing up, and that's why I formed Stand Up America back in 2006. So we would stand up for America, for our friends and allies, and for the security of America. Now, what we have going on, Rita, is a global genocide like the Nazis did in World War II. And we have to realize we got to separate this from a religion. This is a sick, perverted ideology that's guiding the ISIS and the other entities that are joining him.
Do you agree, General Vallely, that Muslims have not stood up enough? I mean, I think it's very powerful to see, you know, one of the most powerful cardinals in the world, our own New York Timothy Cardinal Dolan, coming out and saying Islamic leaders need to stand up, need to step up their efforts. I mean, it's pretty incredible for him to say, look, it's time, boys. Come on.
Well, no, that's exactly right. And this, as I said, this is now global. ISIS has taken this to a new level and a new phase. It is a global genocide. It must be eradicated as soon as possible. Rita, and Sun Tzu, the famous Chinese philosopher and military strategist, says prolonged warfare benefits no one. We have got to get with it. Obama's got to get with it, or he's got to be replaced, because the security of America and others is at stake here.
You know what shocks me, and I guess shouldn't shock me, because I think he has been so docile on combating ISIS, but it's surprising when you hear from a cardinal who's saying, you know, come on, and using as the example of fighting ISIS, fighting evil, and this is, again, a man of peace, and he's using as the example, he's not using America, he's not using another country, he's using Jordan, a Muslim country, as saying this is sort of the beacon of how you fight terrorism.
Well, that's right, and kudos again to General El-Sisi, President El-Sisi of Egypt.
Yeah, by the way, that was very gutsy, too, because he did that. Remember that meeting that he did with all the imams, General Vallely?
Yes.
When he came out and he said, look, we need it. It's our responsibility. That was, I thought, incredibly gutsy, but what we need to hear from Muslim leaders and what we need to hear from our own president.
Well, that's right, but you're not going to hear it from Obama. I think basically Obama is a coward. I think he does not understand what's happening in that world over there. He's not cognizant enough. He's not trained. He's not a strategist. And then he has sycophants like Susan Rice and Valerie Jarrett working for him. They've completely stymied the generals and admirals from fighting this war the way it should be fought. So we're at a crunch point, Rita.
Yeah, which I think is very scary. And by the way, when you hear a cardinal, you know, come out. I mean, this is pretty extraordinary. You've been following warfare for so many years, been on the front lines yourself, General Vallely. When you hear this, I mean, it's quite extraordinary to hear Timothy Cardinal Dolan saying civilization is threatened by the evils of ISIS, to see someone like that write a editorial in the New York Post.
Well, he's courageous, and that's what we need. We need courageous warriors right now. And we must eradicate all the ISIS forces wherever they are. And there is a military strategy, unlike what our State Department came out and say we got to economically benefit them. This isn't about economics. This is a sick ideology to spread the global caliphate and the spread of radical Islam around the world.
No, it is. It's very concerning. Why do you believe Muslims are not doing more? And even, you know, even by Cardinal Dolan's assessment, saying where are the Islamic religious leaders standing up?
Well, I think there's three component parts of the Muslim people coming out of the Middle East and Chechnya and other places around the world. You have those that are much like Catholic, Episcopalians, Presbyterians. They don't go to the mosque. They don't practice Islam. Then you have a second group which does practice. They go to the mosque, but yet they're not involved in the radicalism. Then you have that third group, which are the radical extremists of Islam. And so the vast majority of them are afraid to stand up because of the consequences against their families that will happen, no matter whether they're in Europe or the United States. And so when you have that kind of fear instilled, they've got to get over that, because we do have the necessary security forces to protect them if necessary.
Well, and also, I believe also, General Valley, that there's power in numbers, too, that, it, you know, if it's a concerted effort around the world with Muslim leaders, along with our president and others, I mean, if you know, King Abdullah of Jordan is courageous enough to do it, and he needed to, I think, after that horrific thing with his pilot, then imagine if power numbers of all Muslim leaders bandied together and did something, you know, powerful and concerted. I think that would send a heck of a great message. General Valley, always wonderful to have you on, my friend. Very much a pleasure on this important topic.
Thank you, Rita.
Thank you. General Paul Valley, Chairman of Stand Up for America. So what do you think? Do you agree with Timothy Cardinal Dolan that civilization is threatened by ISIS and that it is time to get tough? And that Islamic religious leaders need to finally stand up and say something and do something. You just heard what I think. I think we need to have a mass opportunity where all of these religious leaders bandy together and stand up. And here's a cardinal saying it, our New York cardinal saying, it is time. Your thoughts on all this? It's 1-800-186-437-2536. 1-866-437-2536. It's Rita Cosby in for Geraldo. And when I'm back, I'm going to take your calls.
Get Geraldo now. Get in on New York's most important stories. 866-GERALDO, 77-WABC.
We are talking about New York's Timothy Cardinal Dolan with an extremely powerful editorial today in the New York Post, where he says that civilization is threatened by the evils of ISIS. And he talks about how Catholic bishops in Ireland bravely stood up 40 years ago to say the church did not support the car bombings and the attacks against civilians by the Irish Republican Army that were using the phrase that they're Catholic, perversely kind of taking advantage of religion. And he's saying now is the time for Muslim leaders to do the same. He's pointing to Jordan, not our country as leadership. He's saying Jordan was courageous when they came back after that horrible video of the pilot who was on fire and died in the cage, that one of the most horrific deaths, I think, you know, ever. And ISIS, he says, is just pure evil. And Muslims need to stand up. The majority of Muslims, he said, look, are good people, but they need to do something. It's time to act. Do you agree? I sure agree. I really think that the cardinal is, you know, is right on, is spot on. It is so much time. We have to stop ISIS in its tracks. And Muslim leaders need to step up. Where are they? It's 1-866-437-2536. 1-866-437-2536. This is Rita Cosby here in for my buddy Geraldo, who, of course, had a very busy night on The Apprentice. Let's go to David from New Jersey. David, you're here on 77 WABC. Thank you for waiting for a while, David. Go ahead.
Rita, what a pleasure to speak with you. I listen to you just about every day.
Thank you very much. Thank you. What do you think of the cardinal?
I could not agree with the cardinal more. I am a practicing Muslim. I'm an almost 5-year convert.
Ah.
And I go to the mosque every Friday, and I pray 5 times a day.
Now, why did you convert, by the way? You said you converted. Why did you convert?
Well, it was interesting. I used to be a Christian, and I thought about converting to Judaism, but I realized, you know, how difficult it would be to really live an Orthodox Jewish life.
You're all over the place, David. Now, what do you think of what happened particularly, and I think what really riled up Timothy Cardinal Dolan was this horrible mass execution of 21 Christians just because they were Christians in Egypt. That just horrible video. I mean, you've got to just go, this is deplorable. And do you wish that there were more Muslims like yourself speaking out?
Oh, absolutely. You know, what led me, you know, to answer your question is because I saw the beauty of this peaceful religion. And unfortunately, you know, more of us need to speak out more, because unfortunately these ISIS creeps, these perverts, these fanatics, they have hijacked our religion and they've turned it into this monstrosity that it's not. You know, our Quran says that we should love our Christian and Jewish brothers and sisters because we're all people of the book.
Well,
we're,
and by the way, David, that's why I agree with you. And David, thank you very much for the call, because your insight as a Muslim American is really important. And I also think that's why Muslims like yourself, people who are certainly people of peace, and I do believe that so many, the majority by far, are people of peace. They need to rise up and stand up. And I think they are worried about these repercussions that General Vallely was talking about just a few minutes ago. But if everybody comes out together and stands up, if you don't do anything, you know, think about where the world is headed. It's not a pretty place. Let's go to Chris from New Jersey. Chris, you're here on 77 WABC. Go ahead, Chris.
Hello, Rita. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome.
I actually called in yesterday and basically, not in the words the Cardinals said, but I had said on the radio that people need, the Muslim community needed to stand up. And your previous caller, I think that's great that a practicing Muslim is standing up and saying this is wrong.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. We need to hear more of that, don't you think, Chris?
Yes, ma'am. And I was fortunate when I was in college, I had a roommate from Turkey. And, you know, when you hear both sides of the religious story, I'm Christian, I'm Catholic. If you go to the Old Testament, the original writings of the Bible, there are some pretty rough things in there, just like in the Quran. But as your previous caller said, we're all what was this term? We're all children of God.
Yes, and by the way, we are also all in this fight together too. I mean, if I, you know, I'm not Muslim, but if I were Muslim, I'd be outraged. And I would be trying to galvanize other Muslims around the country because it is so outrageous. And that's why I think even the President al-Sisi of Egypt, when he came out, that was very courageous. But he shouldn't be single-handedly having to come out and make that statement. It should be every single Muslim leader around the world should be coming out and saying that. And I definitely applaud New York's cardinal, because I think this needs to come from every single religious leader. Let's go to Jamal from New Jersey real quick. Jamal, you're here on 77 WABC. What are your thoughts about all this, Jamal?
Hi, Rita. Good morning. Thank you for having me on the show. Well, yeah, I'm a Muslim myself, and it's just, you know, the headlines are very troubling, and it's frustrating because I understand what you and the Cardinal are saying about wanting to hear more Muslims speaking out. I would like to speak out. It's difficult, obviously, to know exactly when and how to do that.
Are you a Muslim? Are you a Muslim?
Yeah, I am, yes.
Well, and by the way, I understand it's a delicate balance, but I think at this point there has to be no balancing act, Jamal, because I think the gloves are off from what we've seen, this horrible brutality, the beheading of 21 Christians. All these things are happening, and even the Cardinal says it is going to get a lot worse unless we all step in. Thanks for the calls. We're going to continue with your calls, 1-866-437-2536.
On the air, online, and on iHeart.com, we are 77 WABC. Geraldo on the 77 WABC app. Get it before you really need it. WABCradio.com.
And Brooklyn-born singer-songwriter Leslie Gore has passed away. One of her big hits, of course, is that one. Also, It's My Party, I think one of the greatest songs ever. Of course, she's one of our New York own and has passed away, sadly, at a very young age. You know, not, you know, I mean, she's, you know, had hit after hit after hit. And also was, you know, just 68 years old, wasn't that old, but also wrote so many great famous songs. I've been looking through her bio. I mean, there's so many songs that I didn't even know she was a part of. So she's had an amazing, amazing career. We're taking calls. This is Rita Cosby filling in for Geraldo. Of course, Geraldo had a huge night last night on The Apprentice finale and is recuperating a little bit after that. It was a great night for him, and he raised almost $750,000 for charity. Speaking of someone who cares a lot about charity and helping others, well, Timothy Cardinal Dolan has come out and extremely forcefully has written an editorial in today's New York Post about how ISIS is really taking over the world and how civilization is literally threatened by the evils of ISIS, saying that Muslim leaders, Islamic leaders, need to stand up, that it is time, that they need to stand up and speak up and condemn these attacks, just like the King of Jordan, King Abdullah, has been saying, remember that was that horrible scene where one of his pilots was literally burned alive by ISIS, one of the most horrific deaths, I think, ever. And the King of Jordan went in right away with a massive attack against ISIS. He stood up to them. He's a Muslim leader and has had so many assassination attempts in his own country against him. That's a courageous, that's a gutsy leader. And this is what he had to say.
This is no reflection of our religion. This is evil. And all of us have got to make that decision. We have to stand up and say, this is the line that is drawn in the sand, and those that believe in right should stand on this side, and those that don't have to make a decision stand on the other.
So why are we not hearing more of that from the Muslim community in New York and elsewhere? I totally agree with Timothy Cardinal Dolan's very strong editorial, and to see that from a New York cardinal, this is, I think, extremely powerful and needs to be responded to. And I think we do need to step up. Muslim leaders everywhere. When you've got a New York cardinal coming out and saying civilization's basically threatened, talking about history, how civilization's at stake by ISIS if we don't all rise up, including Islamic leaders, I think we absolutely need to. And we need to see these Muslim voices. The number to call is 866-437-2536. 866-437-2536. Let's go to Danielle from Long Island. Danielle, you're here on 77 WABC. What do you think?
Hi, Rita. It's so nice to speak to you.
Thank you. Thank you. You know, I take it so seriously when you see a cardinal coming out with such strong language.
I do, too. I'm a Catholic. And I congratulate Cardinal Dolan for his thoughtful words and his important words. And I agree. I think leaders of all faiths need to stand up, and leaders around the world need to stand up. And I'm afraid, as your general so succinctly put it, our own leader is not standing up properly. He's on a golf course somewhere in California, is he not?
Well, and you know what, also, speaking of which, like, you know, in the American hostage, when the word came down that she was killed, you know, he's out doing something else. You know, when some of the other beheadings have happened, like you point out, he's been golfing. And, you know, I mean, it's just, I don't understand where this leadership is coming from, or lack of leadership on our part, that we have to, you've got a cardinal, and he's not talking about our president and the leader. He's talking about the King of Jordan as the leader. Let's go to E. Frank from Astoria. E. Frank, you're here on 77 WABC.
Yes, Rita, thanks for having me.
You're welcome. What do you think, E. Frank, about what the cardinal's saying?
I totally disagree with Cardinal. I happen
you
to
do?
Be
why? Why do you disagree?
Yeah, I happen to be an openly Christian Roman Catholic baptized member of Queen North Deanery in the Diocese of Brooklyn.
Okay, and?
The Catholic Church is very large, and I believe that ISIS is really a threat. They have already threatened it going after Rome. But I'm not intimidated by what the ISIS said, because I basically know not even Adolf Hitler could overthrow the Holy Roman Catholic Church.
Now you're getting into all this wacky stuff, E. Frank, because if you don't think that Hitler was an enormous threat and had, you know, had America not stepped in and had, and by the way, my father was a Nazi prisoner of war. So to me, you know, when I hear that kind of stuff, you know, thank God America stepped in. America did the alliance with Russia. It was sort of, you know, a lot of people's view of the deal with the devil, but you had to do a deal with somebody. But come on, E. Frank, you cannot think that, you know, everything would have been roses if Hitler had not been stopped. And I think that's actually, on the flip side, a very good analogy why we got to stop ISIS in its tracks. Absolutely. Let's go to John from Manhattan. John, you're here on 77 WABC.
Yes, good morning, Rita. I agree with you, your last statement you made. I mean, it's great that Cardinal Dolan is appealing to Muslim leaders, but it's time to stop trying to convince peaceful Muslims and their leaders to rise up against ISIS, because they won't.
Well, you know what? Look, I think they need to take a cue. There have been a few. I mean, you got the King of Jordan, you got the President of Egypt. That's pretty gutsy, right?
But yes, but they only acted when an act of violence was committed against their own. And that's all that Islam recognizes is force.
So how do we fix this?
Well, we need to do immediately and militarily whatever it takes to completely destroy the threat of ISIS, like we did against Germany and Japan.
Right. And I think it needs to be all out force, John. I mean, you know, I'm all for dialogue when there's an opportunity for dialogue. But when you hear the New York Cardinal saying civilization is at stake, I mean, I almost don't think it gets more serious. Let's go to Robert from Long Island. You're here on 77 WABC. Robert, your thoughts on all this?
Yeah, thank you very much for taking my call. I have a little bit different of view. I think that it's almost futile even going after ISIS.
So what do we do? Just cave?
Let me explain. Well, if you just give me a few seconds, I'll explain.
Go ahead.
We're not solving the underlying problem over here. We keep repeating the same mistake. We overthrow these dictators, and then now there's more terrorists. What happened is we looked at Assad. Why is Assad even our enemy? We've been told that, oh, Assad is bad. Now we realize.
I understand the history of it all. I've been to a lot of these places. I've been to Syria, by the way. But let me ask you, how do we fix it real quick? So what's your suggestion?
Well, we're probably going to have to go in. But the problem is the general public, the politicians, they don't even understand what's causing this problem. This is the problem. People like Saddam, Gaddafi, they have to exist. These people in these countries only understand despotism. You cannot overthrow these dictators and not expect this to happen. It's just got to keep happening.
Well,
so
and
you're
listen,
not solving
and,
anything.
And by the way, Robert, I do think we have, like, going into Libya and then suddenly, guess what, as you point out, you bring up some good examples. You got the Muslim Brotherhood. And then, you know, we put in, you know, Maliki, who's alienating one side to replace Saddam. By no means was Saddam a good guy. Let's get that straight. But, you know, we bring in Maliki, who totally alienated all these other people. And, right, you said the rise up, as we saw. We'll continue with your calls, and we will be right back here. This is Rita Cosby in for Geraldo.
The headlines, the city's most pressing issues, Geraldo, today and every day, 77 WABC.
Didn't we almost make it? We are talking about The Apprentice last night. Did you watch the finale? It's a little bit more of the music. It's kind of nice here. This is Rita Cosby filling in for Geraldo. Of course, Geraldo had a big, big night last night. There's a little of applause for Geraldo as well. Making it to the finale, kind of the freight train versus the sort of slow and steady Lisa Gibbons. Lisa winning. I still think Geraldo should have won. He certainly added a lot of spark to it. And joining us now here on Geraldo's show is the one and only Geraldo. How are you feeling today, Geraldo?
Hi, Rita. A little hungover. I had to drown my sorrows at about 2 in the morning.
Oh, no. And I've seen you drown your sorrows even on a good day. Is there any booze left in New York?
I drown them. I float them.
By the way, you got to feel good. You know, I'll tell you, as your friend and your colleague here at WABC, I was so proud of you. It is tough pressure. And you still hit a home run. What was the most surprising moment for you when you're sitting there in the boardroom and looking at Trump? What was the most, other than obviously the obvious end result?
I thought that it would be a close call, the decision. And then thinking about it, you know, aside from the fact that my 9-year-old soul was inconsolable, she was so, you know, crying and, oh, how could you not pick my dad? I mean, that was the hardest part of
it.
Did she
punch Donald Trump? Or?
she was still whimpering when we came down. I brought them down to the stage, and she sat. Donald very graciously put her in his big leather chair, and then as she sat there, she felt better about it.
Now, what did you tell her? What did you give her as advice, Geraldo? Sorry to interrupt you, because what did you give her as advice?
Well, I told her, you know, you can't win them all. And, you know, people all around her, as they were sitting around her, said, your dad won, and look at all the money he raised for the charity. You know, it's a wonderful cause, and it was a wonderful turnout, and everybody, you know, kind of kumbaya. You know, it's different. I'm kind of, idolized, let's put it that way, and I'm the daddy.
Absolutely. You know what, I'll tell you, there's some beautiful moments. I watched it. Of course, it was like a nail biter for me, you know, rooting for you. And I was sitting there, and some of the most beautiful, when Marty, your wonderful executive producer, called in and told you you had Tony. And then Tony Orlando and you on the stage, and then you with life's work to see you with those kids. I mean, there are some amazing moments, Geraldo, that I've known for so many decades knowing you, but showing that to the world, what was that like for you, sort of exposing the real emotional Geraldo?
Well, you know, I didn't even remember it, and watching it is quite a trip to see the emotions. But you know what that showed more than anything is I have this tough guy image, and I am a tough guy. You know, I've been in a million fights, and if you push me, I'll push you back, and all the rest of it. And Kevin Jonas and Lorenzo Lamas and Ian Ziering really got on my goat. They came after me, so I really had to be tough with them. But what that moment showed when Tony agreed to do the show, and we had had up until that point, remember, you only have something like 36 hours notice from the time you get the task to the time you have to perform it. So I had 36 hours to find someone, a headliner, to be in this. I had no preparation. I had no leads. And for Tony to come through, and to come through in the way he did, coming through because his sister was developmentally disabled and was in the kinds of institutions that I exposed and helped close down, for him to come for that reason, I tell you, he really is my brother from another mother.
Well, I'll tell you, you hit it out of the park, and I've been seeing, like some people said, that was one of the best moments, seeing the two of you guys. You raising almost $1 million, $725,000, you hit it out of the park, and you are a super winner in my book, Geraldo. I thought you did such a great job. So proud of you and Erica, and kudos to you. And I know you're doing Glee, so much more of Geraldo to come, and great to be filling in for you today. Geraldo, thank you so much.
Thank you, Rita. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. And coming up next on deck, Curtis and Kubi will be here. They're always fun and feisty. And then I will be back at 5 o'clock for the ride home for the very latest headlines of what's happening today. It's been great being here for Geraldo. Have a terrific day. Stay warm, everybody.